as he left this earth and ascended. Wouldn't you like to know what that is? Don't we feel then that that would be a very important thing to know? The message today is probably not going to tickle your ears. It's probably not going to excite you. But I'm going to tell you this right now. I believe that this very thing, the very first thing that Jesus preached, the very last thing as he was on this earth and ascending into heaven that he told his men to preach, I believe that very thing is trying, and the devil is trying to remove it from society today because of what it does for us. I'll get to it in a minute. I know I got you curious now. And some of you may already know it. A lot of you are smarter than I am. But I love to teach about forgiveness. I really do. It's one of my favorite subjects in the whole wide world because I need so much of it. However, forgiveness is an interesting thought. For somebody to forgive, it's very easy. The Bible teaches us, they asked the Lord, how many times should we forgive? He said 70 times 7. And a lot of times, if you're willing to forgive that many times, you'll certainly forgive the next. But you know, the key is that's not for the person that you are forgiving. The forgiveness that you give is for you. The forgiveness that you give out is not for the person that you are giving it to. The forgiveness is for you. Christ knows that if you hold up that forgiveness inside of your heart, and by the way, how many of you ever come across somebody that does not accept your forgiveness? Isn't that the most rotten thing in the whole wide world? I forgive you, I don't care. That's the worst thing in the whole wide world. Now, understand this. That means that they are not forgiven. You have forgiven them, but they don't accept it, which means they're not forgiven. I'll give you an example. Christ has absolutely forgiven everybody of everything. Not one thing has he not forgiven. Can I ask you something? Why aren't we all going to heaven then? Because you have to accept the forgiveness for the circuit of forgiveness to be complete. Christ gave out all the forgiveness that he could possibly give. Good night, he died for us on the cross. That's a lot of forgiveness. He's paid it all, but not all will accept. So not everybody's going to heaven because they have not accepted the forgiveness given to them. Now, as we go over this very, very important thing, this thing that Christ talks about, this thing that Christ speaks about is a precursor to the forgiveness that we so richly desire in our lives. Doesn't it feel good when you mess up to know that somebody loves you enough to forgive you? I got to be honest with you. I don't know too many people in the whole wide world that need forgiveness more than me. I mess up all, and by the way, preachers, we are called to preach what God has us to preach. That makes people mad. But I'm going to tell you right now, it's impossible for a preacher that's called of God now. I'm not talking about Benihana and all those idiots out there. I'm talking about a preacher that is called from God. Not Joel Osteen, you're not going to find it in there. But if you got a called preacher of God that desires to preach what God wants him to preach, toes will be stepped on. That's what happens. By the way, the preaching of God is without repentance. I'm not sorry that I preached it. So don't forgive me, I'm not sorry about that. But what's amazing is preachers have this innate ability to make people mad when they're not preaching. Can't help it. I'm so thankful, though, Bethel is so good. The people here, I really believe with all my heart, really do care about each other. I really do. I believe that. I believe that it's not just window dressing. I really do believe that. I need that. I need to know that I offend people. I mean, it is what it is. I offend people. I can't help it. I do. I don't mean to. Nobody, do we ever mean to offend people? I mean, honestly, I don't think we walk around saying, ha ha ha, Baldy, or ha ha ha, you look stupid today. Or I don't believe we go around trying to offend people. But aren't you glad that when we do, that if forgiveness is issued, all we have to do is take the forgiveness and we can move on. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful? But there's got to be a very important ingredient to forgiveness. And I think a lot of times this messes up salvation. This messes up so many things in our life. And they're trying to do away with it in the world today because we don't want people to be sorry anymore. Let me read you a couple verses, can I? Matthew chapter 5. Let's all stand together. I'll read you one here, and I'm going to read you one over in Luke. I'm sorry, Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Good thing it was right next to each other. Already I've said 75 words and you already have to forgive me. Praise God. I accept your forgiveness. We'll move on. Thank you. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 17. The Bible says, from that time, Jesus what? He began to preach. He began to preach. What did he begin to preach? Repent. Amen. He began to preach, and what he begins to preach is repent. Now, can you look over in Luke chapter 24 with me real quick? Luke chapter 24, verse 44. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures. And said unto them, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that what? Repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things. He then ascends into heaven. His first message, the ones he began to preach, be sorry. As he's going up into heaven, tell the people to be sorry. And I believe repentance is a whole lot more than just being sorry. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. Let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. Brother Bill Davis, could you lead us in prayer, please? Amen. You may be seated. Thank you. Man, it's good to be in church. I tell you, you go the whole week long. I can't wait to get to church now. I really can't. I get excited about realizing that I've come to the end of my work week. I really do. I mean, all throughout the week, you got to put up with the world. You got to put up with all these other things. I cannot wait to get to church, be around God's people, hear God sing. And I'm going to tell you, you can't get two better voices in the whole wide world than my wife and Miss Lonnie. And they just blessed us with a song this morning. I get excited about the things of God. I get excited about being around the people of God. I get excited about hearing about the things of God. I get excited to get in church. And then I come with a repentance message. Christ's first message, repentance. Christ's last challenge, repentance. The importance of repentance cannot be minimized. Christ viewed this task as an extremely important one. If Christ wants us to have it, we must then know what it is and then how to do it. I believe there's four things here. And I'll tell you why the world's getting rid of this at the end. I'll tell you why people are trying desperately. By the way, I can't even express to you how many times I've heard people say, I've got nothing to be sorry for. Christ knew who we were. And before I get into a lot of this, I want you to understand something. Christ knows who you are, not who you look like. And by the way, please don't take that like it's horrible. He knows your frame. He knows your heart. He knows how you tick, how you talk. He knows every part of you. There's not one thing that Jesus Christ doesn't know about you. That's frightening. Because who you show me to be and who you show church people to be and who you think you are, God knows who you are. He sees the heart. He sees your inner being. He looks inside of you. So if you come to Christ, say, hey, I've got nothing to be sorry for, buddy. Christ looks down and says, hold on, I'll get my list out. You already have to be sorry for the lie you just told. See, I come to grips with being a sinner. Why? Because I know that I am. That's not bad for me. And it ought not be bad for you. You ought to come to grips with you're a sinner because you've got such a wonderful Savior. The first part of repentance, though, and this is the one that I think means the most. The first part of repentance is illumination. Knowing that you're doing wrong. Knowing that you're doing wrong. I'm not going to sit here and give you example after example after example. But I remember the message that preacher preached, and he gave everybody a bunch of sticky notes, and he said, I want you to write down sins in this world, sins of these things, what you can do, sins, all those things. And it didn't take us very long at all to have that cross just entirely filled with sticky notes of things that we've done wrong, sins that we've committed, things. If you jog your mind, come on, can we be honest this morning? I don't want you to tell me what they are. You can think about what they are. I don't want to know. But you can think about the things that you've done wrong this week, this morning, this hour. You can think about those things and come to the realization that, boy, you know what? I really am a sinner. He's right. I have done things wrong. I've thought bad thoughts. I've done bad things. I've done those things. And it's amazing to me that we don't realize sometimes, well, I don't believe I'm doing wrong. I love this. This is a good one. This is an example of doing something wrong and justifying. Justification of sin is just sin still. You can justify anything in the whole wide world. It still makes it sin, though. At the end of the day, the Lord looks down and says, you haven't justified anything. Here's a good one. I hate gossip. I got to be honest with you. One of the things I struggle with the most, I hate it. I struggle with it. Years past, I'm going to tell you, I really hurt a lot of lives because I could not keep my mouth shut. I'm just being honest with you, being right up front with you. Take it for what it's worth. Fire me tomorrow. I'm tired anyways. But it's amazing to me that people, I can tell you what I've done wrong. You walk out saying, well, God bless God, I can't believe we got a preacher. And I do my very best not to gossip now, although some of you deserve it. But I do my best not to, because I know it hurts people. Now let me help you. This is what I hear, and I love it. I love it. It's justifying this. It's not gossip if it's true. You say, oh, but you've used it. You know what? He is really too loud in church. I really don't like that. It's gossip. It may be true, but it's still gossip. By the way, let me help you. You do not have to go around telling truths about people. Do you know why? Because you got some truths about you that you don't want to be told. You've got truths about you that you don't want to get out there. And I don't care if you think, oh, well, bless God, I'm the most righteous living person in this room. You just fell like seven spots with that statement. And as we think about these things and we go through these things in our life, to realize that we are doing wrong is one of the keys. To realize that we are a sinful people. To realize that we need help. To realize that we are truly, should be a condemned people. Only by the grace of God, there go I. Only by the grace of God, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We must realize that we should be repenting. Well, wait a minute. I thought repentance was just for sinful people that aren't saved. Hogwash. Oh, it's for them too. But do you realize, as a Christian, one of the greatest things you can do in your whole life is go ahead and realize that you're sorry to an almighty God. Now, remember what we started out with. Each one of these, I'm going to go back to this. The only way that forgiveness happens is if the person that has done the wrong realizes that they've done the wrong. The only way it happens. Because it doesn't matter what you say to me, if you don't believe you've done wrong and I'm forgiving you, if you don't believe you've done wrong, there's no forgiveness there because it's not required for people. I didn't come for the righteous, I came for the sinners. Christ didn't come for the righteous. Were the righteous really righteous? No, they were still sinners. But Christ came for the sinners. So the righteous have to come to the realization that they are a sinner. I told you it wouldn't tickle your ears this morning. I came to church this morning, got out of bed, and all you're doing is talk about my sin. I'm going to be honest with you. You need to have your sin talked about. Preachers need to talk about sin because it's something we battle with every single day of our lives. We are not going to be able to walk around this earth thinking we've done nothing wrong. We as Christians need to realize that we are some of the best wrongdoers that we have. And as we walk this earth and realize that, hey, there are things that we've done. There are things. Maybe you know what they are. Maybe you know what your sin is. Maybe you know what you struggle with. Maybe you know the things that God is dealing with you. It's amazing to me how people have the Holy Spirit deal with them and they don't want to deal back. When your heart starts beating over them, some of you right now, I know it. I said gossip, 85,000 people in here. He must be talking about me. I am talking about you. Here it is. Stop. Repent. Realize that you're doing wrong and ask God to forgive you. Illumination. Knowing that you're doing wrong. Knowing, coming to grips with, yes, you too are flawed. How do we figure that out? This information only comes from one source, by the way. What you're doing wrong only comes from one source, and that's God. He uses his God conscience inside of you. By the way, your babies know that they're doing right or wrong right away. Do you know why that is? Because they lie. Yes, your kids lie. Yes, your kids lie. Good night. You're all sitting there. No, they don't. My children are perfect. I have some of them in the school. They lie. Good night. It's amazing how quickly they learn how to lie. It's amazing how quickly babies learn how to lie. Well, that's not true. What do you mean? Okay, let me ask you a question. Every time you went to get your infant that was screaming in the crib, there's only a few things that a baby cries over. Being wet, being messed, or being hungry. Very, very few things. Could be hurt, maybe, but very few things they cry over. Yet, your babies still cry. Why is that? Because they're lying to you. What do they really want? To be held. All of them. Hold me. Wah! You're not wet. You're not hungry. Yet here you are. They come out of the womb knowing how to do this stuff. And then you come to me when they get into third grade and say, my baby never lies to me. You just lied to me. Your child didn't learn it from a stranger. Come to the realization that we are a broken people. Come to the realization that we need to know that we're sinners and it's okay. We've got to know. Because if we're not sinners, then we don't need a Savior. Number two. By the way, it comes from that God conscience. That light inside of you that lets you know right and wrong. Whether you're saved or not saved, I believe that light's inside of you. I believe God put it there because he loves you. I believe he put it there to draw you to repentance. He wants you to repent of who you are. By the way, you must repent of who you are before you can see who he is. And you can't see who he is unless you repent of who you are. Don't talk about getting saved if you've never come to the grips with your sin. You must repent to be saved. You must. And as we think of these things and look at these things, God gives us a God conscience, but he also gives us the Bible. Why was the word given? Let's go with the Old Testament. Why was the Old Testament given? It was given as a schoolmaster. Why was it a schoolmaster? To tell us we were sinning. Thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not what? Thou shalt not. Bom, bom, bom. You give that to your kids today. Thou shalt not steal the cookies. All those things that he told us were schoolmasters to give us the law. And what's amazing is to this day they're trying desperately to get rid of God's law out of the courts. They're trying desperately to remove the Ten Commandments out over the benches. They're trying desperately to get God out of things. Why? Because they don't want repentance. Number two, I love this. Take your Bibles and turn to Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. There's nothing better in the whole wide world than to be forgiven. Do you know, believe it or not, you may not believe this, but there are times in my life where my wife gets mad at me. Hey, even the best have issues. It's a good thing I'm handsome, or she'd have kicked me to the curb a long time ago. But there's nothing better. Now, come on now. Let's be honest. We make each other mad. We do things. And by the way, I'm very good at going outside of the laws of that your wife gives you. You can say what you want to, but your wife gives you stuff that you should not do. I'm not going to go over what they are, but they're there. I'm so excited. Listen, I'm very happy to know that if I say I'm sorry, oh, it may take a little bit. Has she been talking to you? Now listen now. It may take a little bit, but I know at the end of the day that lady right there is going to forgive me. She always has. She's always forgiven me. And it's amazing to me, as we think about this verse I'm going to read to you, you must come to grips with this one thing, and it's very, very important. First of all, you must know that you're doing wrong. Second of all, in Luke chapter 18, I want you to look at this. Luke chapter 18, and we're going to look at verse 13. This is one of my favorite verses in the Scriptures. And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 10. Might as well read the whole thing. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee is a person that did have no sin. That's what they believe. They believe that they're grace in the whole wide world. That's what your Pope believes. Not my Pope. He believes these kind of things. He doesn't sin. Pharisee and a pup, they both go up there to pray. Pharisee and a publican. Look at what happens. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I would love to be in a room and hear somebody say that. Thank you that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. Standing with each other. Wait, you laugh at that. Hold on, hold the phone. How many times have you come into this church and looked at somebody else and said, I'm glad I'm not them? Oh, come on, don't you look at me and get that attitude. How many times have bus kids come in here and you said, man alive, I'm glad I'm not like them? Huh? Boy, I hear them doing stuff, boy, I'm glad I'm not that person. You need this repentance that I'm speaking of. We all need this repentance that I'm speaking of. We need it. As Christians today, we need this repentance that I'm speaking of. You look at this Pharisee and you say, there's no way. There's no way. But how many times have you watched somebody go up to the altar and say, man, I wonder what they're going up there for? It's easy to point fingers. But one of the greatest things I've ever heard, you point out one, you got three pointing right back at you. Look at what this says. Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. By the way, you ought to fast and you ought to tithe. But why do I have to know about it? And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Not only do you need illumination to repent, you must have humiliation. See, humiliation is a very interesting animal as well. Humiliation is, to put this as simply as possible, humiliation is realizing you got caught. The embarrassment of realizing that you're a sinner. The embarrassment of realizing, did you ever in your life do something that in the midst of doing it, You're in the middle of doing it. Realized, this is not right. Yet you finish the task anyhow. Huh? You ever thought about that for a minute? Man, preacher preached so long and I'm so tired of the constancy of the preaching. And then you get through and realize the preacher standing out in the hallway. You got caught. I worry in our lives that we don't feel God catches us. I worry that you walk through your life, and I'm going to tell you, I don't know how many times I've used this illustration. I'm going to keep using it because it's right. These doors are not thick enough to keep God out. So you grab your buddy and you go in here and you say, man alive, I cannot believe how bad this is. I'm telling you right now, Mrs. Skyver is the worst person in the whole wide world. Pastor Skyver, good night. I'm so sick of him yelling and spitting. And then you walk out and say, hey, preacher. Let me help you. God was in that room with you. Let me help you a little bit. You go ahead and talk about us all you want to. Please do. I want you to. Bible says, touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. Hey, I'm a preacher. Talk about me, please. But understand this. God's with you when you're speaking. God's with you when you're talking. God's with you when you're gossiping. You've been caught. When we do those things that we ought not do, and by the way, I do this constantly. When I do something wrong, I'm like automatically, oh, why did I do that? And it's the Bible talks about the sin that doth so easily beset us. It's not the hard ones. It's the easy ones. And it could be something as stupid as a football game or getting cut off in traffic. Man, the sin flows out of Baptist people when you get cut off in traffic. It might be something as easy as hearing a song from your past in a grocery store. It might be something as easy as somebody saying something bad about you and you cannot wait to go tackle them. It may be something as simple as just a forget to keep a vow or a promise broken. It may be not reading your Bible for the day. See, what's sad is these are the sins that easily beset us that God knows we do, and these are the ones that take us down, and these are the ones that God is waiting for us to say, Lord, I am so, so sorry. Because the great thing about God is there's never a time, there's never a day, there's never a moment that forgiveness is not available. Never. It's always there. And you look at me and you say, well, thank God, because I'm about to mess up this afternoon. That forgiveness always being there should make us desire to not mess up. But you must know that you're doing wrong. You're a wrongdoer. And you must have that humiliation, that sadness in your heart, that thought that, oh, I'm so undone. God, I thank you so much for forgiving me. You know, God forgave you of your sin from front to back. He really has. Preacher, you've been preaching for a long time. Preachers, has God ever failed to forgive? I don't believe he ever has. And I watch people get saved and I watch people go through their lives. But I believe we lose is repentance for everyday life. Repentance isn't something to be scared of. Repentance is something to be used. And as we look and realize, oh, I have done wrong. Oh, I'm so sorry for doing wrong. But repentance isn't that simple. Oh, I want you to know that you're doing wrong. I want you to realize it and be humble. Humility is one of the greatest things you can have in your life. The realization that God is almighty and you are all wimpy. That is the greatest thing you can go. God has it all. You have nothing to offer except what God gives through you. Look at Romans chapter 3, just real quickly. This is something I want to hit before I leave. Now, and I know you know this, but I want to make sure that you see this one more time, one of the greatest teachings you can ever have. This is talking about, well, I'll let you read who this is. Verse 10, as it is written, Romans chapter 3, verse 10, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. How many are righteous? Not one. So I think you fall into this category. So do I. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Does everybody fall under that category? Praise the Lord. Yes, you do. So do I. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Their tongues, with their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips. You can't say anything good. Your flesh has no good thing dwelling in it. If you say things that are godly, it's God that's doing it. Now look at this. Whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness, their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. We are living this right now, brother. We are living these days. There is no fear of God. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth, how many mouths? Every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. You take in a Romans class, you see him drop that gavel 75 times saying that verse right there. We are all guilty. Guilty. We are all guilty before God. Say, well, that's horrible. I can't believe I'm coming to this. Preaching's horrible. That's a wonderful thing. Because where we have guilt, he has grace. There must be illumination. There must be humiliation. Now let's keep going. There must then also, and we stop short of this, I tell you, I do too. There must be a detestation. In other words, you got to hate what you just did. One of the easiest things in the whole wide world. And by the way, these are sins that easily beset us. I'm picking on sins that are easy. I'm picking on sins that are easy for us to do. By the way, I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to the person next to you. I'm not talking to the person across from you. I'm talking to you. Because this repentance, this thing that you need to have, Jesus thought it was pretty important. He began preaching on it. He finished up preaching on it. Pretty important. Pretty important with repentance to stay close to God. I believe that. You've got to be sorry for what you do to stay close to God. I believe that with all my heart. Then you must have detestation. There has to be a day. You know what, Christian? When are we going to hate sin? We ought not be haters. Oh, yes, you should. That's a worldly thought. That's a worldly thought. We ought to hate sin. We ought to hate sin. By the way, I'm not talking about the sin that others commit. I'm talking about yours that you commit. It's easy to say, well, I hate homosexuality. And I do. I really do. It's ruining this country. Oh, here you go, hitting on the queers again. He said queer in church. I'm going to tell you, sodomite's a better answer. And by the way, they're an abomination. What they're doing is an abomination unto God. It's an abomination. It's easy to hate that. It's easy to get on board. Well, I've got somebody in my family. Well, nobody's got closer than I do. So I have every right in the whole world. By the way, the Bible gives me the right. I don't need to have somebody in my family. The Bible gives me the right. We ought to hate it. The Lord hates it. Loves the people, though. Loves the people. But it's easy to pick on them. It's easy to pick on the alcoholic. It's easy to pick on the drug abuser. It's easy to pick on those that have trouble with things in their life, like gambling, things like that. That's easy to do. By the way, would you stop playing the lottery? We're not going to build a building on your lotto winnings. Oh, no amens. Praise the Lord. All right. Didn't have that plan. Praise God. But it's easy to pick on them. What you don't see generally is what you have. What you don't see generally is the things about your life that you ought to hate. I hate the fact that I talk about people sometimes behind their backs. I hate it. Hate it, hate it, hate it. I hate the fact that sometimes, I hate to say this, there's sometimes I get up for church and I don't want to come. Can you believe that? But when I get here, it's the greatest time in the whole wide world. You ought to detest the sin. If you want repentance, this is what doesn't work. God, I am so sorry. I am so sorry, God, that I have not been tithing. Oh, he hit on money. You know what's coming. Come on. Lord, I'm so sorry I have not been tithing. I'm so sorry. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. You've realized it. You should be doing it. You're humiliated over it. You're sorry for it. But then the next time the plate comes around, and the amen stopped. I'll put it back. Everybody sees this, right? That was 75 cents that preacher put in. Anyways. Where repentance stops. See, repentance begins at knowing. Repentance keeps going with being sorry. But repentance stops at the, I'm just going to keep doing it. How many times have people that drink alcohol given it up? But they still drink alcohol. The repentance wasn't there. It didn't finish. Aren't you glad that when we repent of our sin and we come to God and we come to Christ and he says, I'll save you, aren't you glad he's paid for it all? Aren't you glad he didn't just go halfway? But with our lives, how are we going to get better if we don't stop doing the things that hurt us? How are we going to get better if we don't stop doing those things? When is the next time you're going to defend somebody in one of those rooms? Well, I'll do that too. Praise God. The amen stopped again. I must be hitting a good chord today. How many is it when you're going to come in here and you're going to start talking about somebody? Bless God. Blah, 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 blah. Well, I tell you what, I think Miss Rosie's wonderful. I think the preacher's wonderful. I don't think you're right for saying that. I'm going to tell you right now, I think we ought to go talk to preacher about it. You won't come out of the door saying, amen, preacher. You're going to be going, oh my goodness, is he really going to go to the preacher? Hey, maybe they had a bad day. Maybe they made you mad. But you don't know what's going on in their life. You don't know what's going on in their life. Why do I say these things to you? Because I believe we all have bank accounts. I really do. I believe we have bank accounts. We make deposits throughout our life. If I do something nice for this young man, it makes a deposit. I don't make deposits to make this, so I'm expecting a payment later, but there it could be that I need one later. Amen? It could be that I need a payment later. It could be that I need something later. And I'm going to tell you right now, I worry about our people. I worry about our sinners. I worry about this thing called repentance because I just don't see it anymore. I don't see a realization that you're doing wrong. I haven't done anything wrong. I don't see a humiliation for what you've done wrong. I am so sorry. I don't see a hatred for what you've done wrong so much that you stop doing it. Look at Jude. This is going over like a lead balloon. Maybe I should stop. Preacher told me there'd be days like this. You're either laying a golden egg or they're so mad at you they can't wait to stomp out. I'll have somebody else shake hands today. Jude chapter 1, because there's only one. Threw you off there, didn't I? Everybody knows verse 22. You very seldom quote it right, but you know what this says. And of some have compassion, making a difference. But look at verse 23. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating. Hating what? Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. When are this hatred for sin is a battle. It's a battle. I'll use myself as an example because I'm an easy target. I got saved, moved here. I mean, I got saved when I was 11 years old. I battled, oh my goodness, I battled with alcohol. I battled with just, oh, horrible thing. Just horrible, whatever. I battled. I come here, and it's amazing that the things that you pile up in your life, and by the way, this is, again, something that comes from lack of repentance. It's amazing how big the pile of bad can get when you don't have repentance. Like, if you follow the kings of Israel, we just did this not too long ago, the kings got worse and worse and worse and worse. Well, why? Because they didn't have God. So they didn't have God got worse. Didn't have God got worse. We're in this today in America, by the way, and we're piling up all these things. It used to matter that there was nudity on the TV. It used to matter. Look at Andy Griffith. He won't even pull his pant leg up on the TV. Amen? Who do you don't even know who Andy Griffith is? Opie? Good night. Didn't think the crowd was that young. Back in that day, you hear shucks, and it was censored. Today, we've come so far from repentance that the pile that's here now, you can't even turn your TV on without seeing filth. You can't. And what's happened? We forgot that we're supposed to hate that sin. We forgot that we're supposed to hate those things. We may have thought it at one time, oh my goodness, I'll never watch that, never. But shoot, what you're watching today, what happened? You forgot to repent. You forgot to detest that. So I move here. Preacher has convictions that I don't have. I was brand new. I couldn't even quote John 3:16 to you. I didn't even know it had 16 verses in it when I got here. I didn't know what I was supposed to do. Man, I had a collection of CDs. Not CDs, I'm sorry. Good night, they were tapes. A cassette tape is a little thing. It had like ribbon in it. You know what ribbon is? Okay, the ribbon would go from one wheel to the next and it would play stuff. I don't know how that worked. It's not like the CDs. Anyhow. But I had this huge, huge collection of music. And I'm going to make you mad. Stay with me. Don't leave yet. I had all the way from rock and roll to country. Country. Listen, if you think that it's godly because they say God in it, that don't make it godly. Boy, people are mad right now. I can see you. You'll forgive me later. I'm repenting right now. I had all that collection of music. Loved it, by the way. And to this day, you say, well, music doesn't affect you. That's a lie. It's a lie. It's a lie because I challenge you to go into the store, music you haven't heard for 25 years, it'll play over the sound system and you'll be singing with it. You can't memorize John 3:16, but you've got that song memorized, glory to God. It took me years. I threw them out. I didn't sell them. Talk about repentance today. I didn't sell them because why would I want that filth to go to somebody else? Yeah, country music's bad. Amen. It really is. What are you going to listen to? There's a tear in my beer? What are you going to listen to? Here's a quarter, call someone who cares. Is that what you're going to listen to? Huh? What are you going to listen to? It's not godly. It's not godly. It's not godly. What you heard sung this morning, that was godly. What the choir sang, that's godly. If you want some godly music, you better start listening to the people that sing right inside this building, because that filth you're putting in your house is not helping your life. It's hurting your life. And yes, I'm going to talk about country music. And yes, I'm going to talk about that country music that mentions God, because it's worldly. Yeah, amen. The first four rows, amen. All the rest of you said, I'm going to listen to my car. I don't care what you say. WGAR is the best channel in the whole wide world. Country music's good. It mentions God. I'm going to tell you right now, Joel Osteen mentions God, but he's not godly. And that was the thing that I dealt with in my life that I realized that I was doing wrong. I realized that I needed to stop. But it took me a long time to get to the point where I hated it. By the way, I'm not trying to be mean to you. I'm trying to show you that repentance is important. How long did it take you to get rid of your movies? Oh, wait a minute. I haven't done that yet. You got a rated R movie in your house, you're against God. What? they do in that movie? Come on now. Come on. Be honest with me. What do they do in that movie? You're going to see nudity. Rated R was 20 years ago was rated triple X. You're going to see nudity. You're going to hear cussing. You okay with that? Oh boy. Here we go, preacher. Praise God. We've had good crowds. How? Listen. Remember I told you about the pile? Remember I told you about this pile? Have the preacher come in and watch your movie with you. See this big pile right here? See this big pile? That big pile is there because a long time ago we stopped repenting. A long time ago when the S word came across, S word, that's docile today. S word, you can get that in the PG-13 movie. How many of those you got? Praise God. You got all this big pile of movie here and you see this, you hear that word. Well, how many? What's your limit? What's your word limit, Christian? You got a 3-word limit? Huh? You got 3? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, we've got that thing that cuts out the curse words. Stick with me now. Do you shut your eyes when the nudity comes? Everybody shut up now. This thing called repentance, folks are trying to get rid of to this day because they don't want to deal with God. And by the way, I'm not standing up here. You know this with all you. If there's anybody in this room that knows they're a sinner, it's me. I've dealt with this. I still deal with this today. That kind of garbage ought not be in our houses. That kind of garbage ought not be on our television. That kind of garbage ought not be in our eyes. That kind of garbage ought not be in our minds, in our thoughts. And don't you tell me that it doesn't stay with you when you leave that room. Hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Would to God we'd hate sin. Why won't Joel Osteen hate sin? Because it empties his church. Turn to John 8:11. You know what? Skip that. Turn to Romans. Turn to Romans. I'll wrap this up. I can see you're not happy. Do you know that Christ gave more commandments than just the first 10? Okay, just want to make sure you're aware of that. About to give you one. Romans chapter 12, verse 1, the Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, it's my favorite verse in the whole wide world. This is my life verse. I love this. I love this verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. Why don't people preach on holiness anymore? Huh? And can I stop right here to tell you I hated it too? I used to hate it. First few years of the ministry, I hated it. Don't come in here and preach. Don't come in here and preach holiness. Good night. I'm so sick and tired of you telling me how I ought to live. Do you know preachers tell you how Christ wants you to live? Not how the preachers want you to live. Let me help you. The preachers can't live up to it either. At least you got preachers willing to admit that. I will tell you this. I do my dead level best. I really do. I try hard to live right. I really do. And I know I tell you I'm a sinner all the time. Makes you think I'm going out getting drunk or something. I'm not doing that. But I know this. I could be. If it wasn't for God, I could be. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Now, this is what God's saying. So madness could begin with him. Holy, acceptable unto God, not unto Dr. Phil. Acceptable unto God. By the way, that guy's a crackpot. Him and Oprah ought to go on the same ship way out in the middle of the ocean. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is what? Your reasonable service. It's reasonable for me to do what God wants me to do. Why? Because he did everything for me. Now look at this now. And stink. Be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed. Not only must there be illumination, not only must there be humiliation, Not only must there be a detestation, there also needs to be a transformation. Repentance should lead you to a place of change. Repentance should lead you to a place where you're different. Behold, if any man be in Christ, he is a... Old things are, and all things are become. Now understand this. I believe I got saved at 11 years old. I really believe that with all my heart. At his church. At 11 years old, I believe I got saved. I knew I was a sinner. I knelt down in front of an old green register. I didn't pay anything for it. I got him beat. But then I lived like the devil. Went through that life. I don't have that great testimony all the other Baptist preachers have where they were wrong all their life, got saved and got right. I didn't. I got saved and got busy doing wrong. Then I come to the realization that God doesn't want me to do these things anymore. So I changed. Took me a long time though. The transformation of the Christian is something that needs to happen. I believe it needs to happen over time, but I believe it needs to happen. I am willing to have a person take a while to grow, but I do want to see somebody grow. I'm not on board with a person 40 years doing the same dumb things he was doing before. I'm worried about the salvation of that person. Because I believe just like Lot's soul, his righteous soul was vexed daily, I believe the soul of a saved man will be vexed daily if he's a sinful person that keeps on sinning in the wrong way. And here you have this transformation that happens in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do you know why less and less people are finding the will of God? Because they're not proving what it is. This is good preaching. I'll amen myself later. But I'm going to tell you, the reason you're not finding the will of God is you're too mired in the gossip. You're too mired in the sin. You're too mired in the bad things that we're doing. There's no repentance. That's not why you're finding the transformation. That's not why you're finding something to do for God. You're not finding the will of God because he's not ready to use you yet. Boy, that's good stuff. I'm just being honest today. If we want to do something for God, we've got to get to a place where God can do something with us. I don't believe you have to get right to get saved. I believe you have to get lost to get saved. But I believe once you get saved, you ought to get right. And quit looking at me saying, well, you know what? You hit on some things that I agree with, and you hit on some things I don't agree with. And I'm going to go home, and I'm going to continue to do the things that I think are okay. That's fine. But you know that argument just proves my point. Thank you very much. Because if those things are coming to your mind, God put them there. Boy, that's good stuff. Why then? By the way, do you know how good it is to be forgiven? I talk about this repentance, but do you know how good it is? Let me see. I don't know one Christian that has transformed their life for Christ, that Christ has used in a miraculous way. Let me use a preacher here for a minute. By the way, preacher doesn't do everything right all the time. Come on, everybody knows that. But at the end of the day, preacher, I got to believe that if I asked you one question, preacher, do you regret the days you served the Lord? No. Let me ask you another question, though. And I'll ask that everybody in this room. Do you regret the days you didn't? You think Moses had regrets? Stood on Mount Pisgah's lofty height, looking down over, but not able to go into the promised land. Do you think that people throughout their life, why am I preaching this to you today? Because I want us to be better. Us, I'm using me too. Us! I want us to be better. When are we going to make that transformation? When are we going to detest the things that we're doing? When are we going to decide for Christ? I want to be holy and acceptable unto you. I know you're never going to be holy. I know you're never going to be acceptable, but we can give it our best shot. Yet we fight and fight and fight and fight against the preaching, fight against the Bible, fight against the prayer, fight against the pricks, just like Paul. It's hard for you to kick against the pricks. Because Christ is desperately wanting a preacher says we're supposed to do it one more time here in Northeast Ohio. We're not going to do it if we're not going to get right with God. We're not. By the way, nobody's on a horse here. Not one person. I'm telling you that I'm a sinner. I'm telling you, I need this. I'm telling you, I need to get closer to God. I'm telling you, I need to do these things. You can do with it what you want, but know this, God told me to do this, because it's not a happy message. Why then would repentance be removed? Why? It's really simple. I want to give you a few examples. Why do we have in the United States today so many states going ahead and doing the gay marriage thing? Why? Why do we have that? Because it's not wrong anymore. Huh? Because it's not wrong anymore. That it's boiling down to, it's not wrong anymore. There's not enough votes to get it in. It's always shot down every time. Yet it still gets through. Why? Because it's not wrong anymore. Do you know, preacher, if we can start to make things that were right wrong and start to make things wrong that are right, we don't have to worry about repentance anymore. Then we don't have to worry about God, because God calls them wrong. Why do you think all the Bibles are coming out? Come on, think with me. Why do you think all the different versions are coming out? Because the King James tells you you're a sinner. The rest of them are not going to do that. They're going to take away the deity of God, take away the deity of Christ. They're going to make you look better than you really are. They're going to make this pile bigger by your belief that it's okay. It's not okay to have gay marriage. It's not okay to have that queer agenda. It's not okay. It's not okay that your children can watch the R-rated movies. It's not okay that you're taking them in. It's not okay that the music is wrong. It's not okay. But if we keep saying it's okay, preacher, stop preaching against it. You might lose people. I'd rather be preaching to just my family and preaching what God wants me to than have a room full of people and have them tickled every day. God loves you, no doubt. God died for you, but He died for you to transform you. And you'll never know. I'll get letters. Every time I preach on the queers, I get letters. But you won't sign them. I tell you, if you sign them, I'm coming to your house. We're going to go over the scripture together. Then you can take up the next letter and send it to God. The philosophy of the day, there's no need for repentance. The philosophy of the day, there's nothing that we're doing wrong. No transformation will come if we don't hate our sin. It won't. No alcoholic ever stopped drinking until he realized that he hated it. Come on. I know alcoholics. I'm going to tell you, alcohol is so wicked. It's so wicked. Over 75 verses deal with you not drinking, yet people still come every time we preach on alcohol and say, well, is it okay to just drink one? Every alcoholic in the whole wide world started out with just that one. Go right ahead. You know, it's amazing to me. We're not doing anything wrong. No transformation is going to come unless we don't hate our sin. No hate for our sin. No hate will ever come if we never feel that we are doing anything wrong. It's okay to listen to my rotten music. It's not okay. It's not okay. It's not. What you ought to do is you ought to get these guys to run you off some CDs of the singers of this church. Raji Whitaker used to make hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of those. He used to make Dr. Jim CDs. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 85 songs on one CD.
Amen.
You could put that thing in and retire before it'd be over. And I loved it. Why? I want to hear good music. I want to hear good preaching. I'm not putting a Joel Osteen tape in. Are you kidding me? That's just a massive waste of my time. I want to hear preaching. I'm going to put in preaching. See, these things in our life will change our life and we'll come to a point of repentance in our lives and realize that we are sinners. We do need to change. I would to God that I'd start seeing some Christians have a desire enough to change that they actually do. Not for me, by the way. I don't care if you ever change for me. That's not about me. If you change for me, you won't stay changed very long. But there's a God that you could change for, and He would help you through it. No hate for sin will ever come if we never feel as though we do anything wrong. And no humiliation's ever going to come if we don't come to grips with it. We've already been caught. I've got good news. I've got good news. You're a sinner. That's horrible news. It's not horrible news. Because I also have a Savior. I have a Savior that has already forgiven every single thing that I've ever done. Let me help you. I started out the service trying to teach you a little bit about forgiveness. The forgiveness is always, it's like electrical current. You and don't have to try this if you don't want to, but if you just touch the black wire, you're just fine. If you just touch the white wire, you're just fine. But if you grab both of them babies, you're going to fry like a bug on a bug light. Jesus offers you forgiveness every day of everything you've ever done. It's there. It's always there. But it's us that have to accept the forgiveness. We have to repent of what we're doing wrong and make a step closer to God by accepting His forgiveness that's always there. Come to the altar and say, God, please help me to get better. Then go away hating that thing that you did, hating that thing, and transform, change into a person. Do you know why it's so easy for me to talk against alcohol? Because I was one that was almost an alcoholic. You know why it's easy for me to speak against gossip? Because I was a person that partook in it so much. And I saw the hurt. I saw the pain. And I don't like it anymore. I don't like it. I hate that because it hurts lives and it hurts my life. Say what you want to say. You speak badly of someone else, it's going to come back to get you. Why am I so against Facebook and all this other stuff? Because that's all it is a big gossip session. I know people are talking about me on it because I don't look on it. But people still come to me and say, do you know what those people were saying about you on Facebook? I don't care. I really don't care anymore. If they want to waste their time talking about old fat boy over here, please go right ahead. But you're not doing something for God. You're not. Could you be? Yes. But you're not. Why is repentance taken out? Because we feel better when we don't have to. I would to God that we'd have you're never going to have a revival. We talk about revival. You're never going to have a revival if you don't have one in yourself. You're never going to have a revival if you don't have a transformation. You're never going to have a revival if you don't make church more important than a ball game. You're never going to have revival unless you make church more important than a ball game. I know Cleveland's in first place. Love it now. But I guarantee you this, it's not going to change your life for God. If Pittsburgh wasn't first, yes, but not Cleveland. Understand it. I'm all done. I promise I'm done right here. Jesus Christ started out preaching, repent! Because He wanted you to get closer to Him. That's the God's honest truth. You're going to get closer to Him if you realize that you're a sinner and you need Him. You're going to get closer to Him. He also ended with, repent! Because after I leave, you're going to need to be closer to me. And I'm going to send the Comforter to you, but you're going to need to be close to Him. And that closeness is going to be as a point of repentance, a point of hating sin, a point of being God-like, a point of being to a place where you can have communion and fellowship with your wonderful God. And you're not going to do that being steeped in your sin. Repent. Repent. While we're here, I think we should transform ourselves by a simple form of repentance, asking God to forgive those things we have so much trouble with. The world's trying to take it out, Christian. Please put it back in. Please, there are wrong things. They're just wrong, and we can't get away from it. They're wrong, and we need to stop doing them. Very, very simple. I know, but it's the truth. Let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank You so much for this morning. God, I know this message is not going to go across as popular. I know it's not going to be one in the archives of great sermons. I understand that. But Lord God, I know my life was not changed until there was repentance. I know my life was not transformed until I hated the sin I was doing. I know that my life was not very, very good for you until I started to realize that I was such a sinner, Lord, that I needed your help desperately. I needed to repent of what I was doing. Lord God, please help these people to repent. Lord, help them to realize that they need your forgiveness, that we really are doing things that are not right, that we really are, God, in need of a cleansing that only you can give. Lord God, I am the chief. I really am. Lord, I need you so desperately. I need your help. I need you to guide me. I need you to direct me. And Lord, I believe this is one of the greatest things that we could ever do, is have repentance, seeking your face, apologizing for what we have done, realizing we've been caught, hating that garment spotted by the flesh, and changing our lives to do a great work for you. I believe the people represented in this room are the ones commissioned to do just that work. But Lord, together, oh God, we've got to get closer to you. Please help us to do just that. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around. How many can say they know that they know that they know 100% sure? They know that they're a sinner, but they know they've accepted the Savior, and they know they're going to heaven when they die because of what He's done. Can you put your hand up real big and tall? You know that you know that you know that you're saved. You may put your hands down. I didn't see every hand go up. I couldn't see every hand, but I'll be honest, you need Christ. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you need Him. He wants you to be saved. He died for you. He's paid everything. There's not one thing you have to pay. All you have to do is accept it. The forgiveness is always there. All you have to do is take it. The Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So would there be one today that would say, you know what, I don't know that if I died I'd go to heaven, but I sure would like to know. Could you put your hands up real big and tall? Would there be one? And I'm speaking to a room full of sinful, sinful people that the Lord loves so very much and is desiring to have make a difference in this world. And the way that we make that difference is being transformed to do what He would have us to do, a great and mighty work for our great and mighty God. Dear Lord, I pray that you'd have your will and way in this invitation. Oh God, we need you. We need you so very desperately. I need you. There's changes I need to make in my life, God, and you're going to have to help guide me. You're going to have to help direct me. You really are. Because, Lord, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing, and I've got that battle on my hands, and I need you to help fight with me. Lord, please help me to do those things. The altar is going to be open very soon, God. Please help folks to come. Help folks to deal with these things. Lord, help us to get closer to you. And I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. I'm not going to sing. I'm going to go to the altar. So